What happened was the love of God began to deal. The love of God began to move in, and perfect love cast out all fear. And I want to tell you this morning, it's not about who sinned. In the book of John, there was a blind man. And Jesus, the Bible says, he got some clay. And he spit in it, and he made some balls, and he put it on the man's eyes. And he told him, he said, go wash in the pool of Shiloh. And the first thing people said, who sinned? Was it him or was it his parents? It's not about who sinned. The fact of the matter is, it's about God receiving glory. It's about God getting the glory this morning. You know, Pastor preached that very first message this year about rest. You know what causes unrest? When we allow the devil to attack our mind and we believe a lie from the enemy, and it causes unrest in us. And I made this statement in the office because I come against every spirit of fear. I come against the spirit that attacks people's mind. I come against the spirit that allows us to believe a lie. But I made this statement. I said, when the devil attacks me individually or anybody else individually, it causes you and I to be miserable. And misery loves company, so we go find us somebody else. You see, we don't go find somebody that's been praying every day. We don't go find somebody that we know has been in contact with God, that we know has been walking in God's presence and His anointing. We go and find somebody that the devil has attacked, and we get somebody else to be miserable with us, and then we feel like everything's going to be all right. Come here, Brother Scott. Come see. You right there, this little girl right here. Turn around. Listen. If you had a choice this morning, you're about to go in battle. You're about to be in the fight of your life. You want him or do you want her? Who would go with Brother Scott? Raise your hand. Listen. It's big. Listen, I can get behind him. Beat him up first. But I'm not talking about a natural fight. I'm talking about a spiritual fight. And that's what we're fighting this morning. Listen to me. This little girl can get in a fight with any one of these other children in here. And they could be as mad can be. But before their service is over, you know what? They're going to go home with one another. They're going to hug one another. They're going to love one another. Jesus said, unless we become as little children. Listen. You know what? In her heart, she will find it in her heart to forgive you. No matter what you do. But when you become a adult, you can go sit down. Thank you. When you become a man, when you become grown, the same thing can happen. And we have a tendency of never forgetting about it. And that's why it's so easy for the devil to come and attack our mind. Listen to me. You say, what is God going to do here this morning? God has an individual message because he has an individual relationship with each one of us. I said he has an individual relationship with each one of us. You say, well, how much does God know about me? He knows more about you than you know about yourself. I said he knows more about you than you know about yourself. There's some. I want you to hear me. When Jesus called his disciples, and they begin to follow him. He transferred an anointing upon their life. I said he transferred an anointing in their life. And there's some of you here, you need to get what God has for you, for your children, and some of you for your spouse. And then you need to go home and you need to transfer that anointing to their life. You need to let them know it's just a trick of the enemy. The devil's a liar and the truth's not in him, but we're overcomers. You know what they're like? There was another example. You want to learn how to give God glory? When you get home, if you have an iPhone or an iPad or any kind of smartphone, listen, those phones are smart. And you don't have to do a whole lot with them to figure out how smart they are. If you don't have the Bible, the audio Bible on your phone, go and get it. It's free. Start in Matthew. Just listen to the first four books of the New Testament, and it will teach you how to give God glory. Because even though Jesus, I want you to hear this, Jesus suffered and he died. He was tempted just like you and I are, but he sinned not. When they found him at the well talking to the lady, when the disciples went into town to get some food and they came back, and Jesus was about doing his Father's will, he said, "My will is to do the will of him that sent me. My meat is to do the will of the Father." It was all about giving God honor and giving God glory. Not once do you find where Jesus gave glory to himself, but it was always about the Father. You know who attacked Jesus when he healed the blind man by putting the clay balls on his eyes and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam? You know who complained about it? You know who questioned who sinned, whether or not the man sinned or his mom and dad sinned? The church. It wasn't some outside force. It wasn't somebody that didn't know what it was to serve God. The church came and said, "Well, why was he born blind?" It don't matter. The fact of the matter is God healed him. You know, I get asked this question all the time, because there's children across America, there's children all over the world that's born. Some's born crippled, some's born blind, some's born with some deficiency. And they want to know why. The fact of the matter is, if we trust God, I said if we trust God, he will heal them, but we need to learn how to give him the glory. You know, I'll never forget, I was in Daphne, Alabama, just a few years back. My wife and I walked into a church on a Sunday morning. And Brother Scott, the preacher's preaching about God's miraculous healing, how that God can do anything, how that if we trust him, he can perform any miracle that we have need of. But I noticed when I was sitting there before the church, the service started, this man walked in and he was limping like this. And when it come time to pray for healing, that man came to the front and he had one leg that was about this much shorter than the other one. And that pastor got a chair and he sat the man there. And I literally seen that man's leg grow to the exact same length as the other leg. And listen, it caused excitement. It caused people to be enthused for a little while. Somebody say a little while. That's where we get hung up, is a little while. We went back that night, the man had his leg just grew an inch. Wasn't even in the service giving God honor. He wasn't even in the service giving God glory. Listen, he walked in there limping, but he left walking straight as anybody else. God can do whatever we trust him to do, but he wants the glory. He wants you and I to praise him. He wants you and I to exalt him. And that's what it's not about me. You know, I made this statement this morning as we was in that office. There's some big name evangelists. We can invite them to Buras. And we can have a service at the Buras Auditorium because it's probably the building with the most room. And we will pack the place out because of somebody's name. Well, listen to me. His name is Yahweh. His name is God Almighty, the All-Sufficient One. I'm telling you, he is sufficient to do whatever we have need of. You say, how real does God want to be to me? He wants to be so real to you this morning. There was another man at Jesus. He was blind and he asked the Lord to heal him. And he put clay on his eyes. He spit on his eyes and he put clay on his eyes. And he said, can you see? He said, I see, but it looks like men look like trees. He didn't get upset. He didn't start questioning, why can I not see clearly? But the Bible says Jesus prayed again, and he began to see clearly. Listen, you might be walking around in the things that's hindering your walk with God. It might be a tree in your life. You might not be able to see clearly. You might see a tree when you're trying to look toward God. Pray again. Don't give up. Don't run out on God. Pray again. So that we could see clearly, so that our minds could be opened and we can understand what God is about to do. Listen. You say, how far am I from the glory? You're on the edge. In fact, some of us, it's rocking back and forth. We're about to fall off in God's glory. My. What a day that's going to be. Just to fall off in God's glory. Fall off in God's presence. Listen. Whining, pouting, and worried about it ain't going to help. Just lift up your hands and just praise God. That's what's going to bring real deliverance. That's what's going to bring true happiness. Elaine, I want you to go back here and stand right beside Kathy. Listen to me. I walked down here. It's around 10 minutes to 10. And I looked around. I said, well, Lord, you must have gave me this message for me. Because there wasn't many people here. And I went back in that office and said, God, you know who needs to be here. You know all about them. And I made this statement, God knows more about you than you know about yourself. I I want you to start singing that song from the beginning. There's a peace.
I see.
And there is an anointing. I want to tell you, God cares more than you'll ever figure out. And God's about to touch you in a way that He has never touched you before. You'll be alone, nobody else around, and all of a sudden, that sweet presence of Almighty God. See, the devil has came against you in fear. But God would have me tell you, fear no more. Just love Him. And God's perfect love is going to cast out all fear. Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would just allow your presence to just minister right now. From the very top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Spirit of God, anointing of God, hand of God, touch right now. Let it flow in the name of Jesus. God, I want your glory, Lord. I want you, oh God. It's not about me. It's not about nobody else, but it's about you, Father. And I thank you for it, Lord. I receive it in the name of Jesus. This morning, and you're that one that the enemy has attacked your mind. I'm asking you, to just step out of your seat. Listen to me. We serve a God that cares so much. He's seen this day. You say, when did God see this day? When He formed you in your mother's womb. Before you was even conceived, He already knew how He was going to work it out. It's not about who sinned. You know, oftentimes, that I pick up this word and I open it up, I tell the Lord, let me see clearly. Let me see clearly. You know where we have to be careful? You know, we'll pick it up and we'll read something and we'll say, oh man, that's a good word. Who am I going to preach this to? And it's something in God's word that He just takes us to. Oftentimes I've grabbed the word of God and just opened it up and it was right where God said to be. And I'd read it. And the first thought in my mind is, where am I going to preach this? And all of a sudden, somebody say, all of a sudden. See, we got to get used to these things happening in our life. The Spirit of God says it's for you. Take heed of it and apply it to your life. You know, there was times that excitement. Listen to me. There was times that excitement from the very when I first read it, it kind of just started sinking down. Because the last thing I wanted to hear was God say, it's for you. Apply it and change your life to fit my word. Don't change my word to fit your life. See, when we change God's word to fit what we want, it causes confusion and chaos. But when we take God's word and take it for what it says and apply it, it causes peace and it causes rest. And sometimes it hurts. I said, sometimes it hurts. See, sometimes God has to take His word. He has to show it to us. And it causes correction. You know, we were talking about correcting kids. And I made this statement. I said, a good old-fashioned behind whipping ain't going to kill nobody. Of course, it's illegal nowadays. So what we've done, we've taken that, and when God has to correct us, we done got so used to being, you know, we watch how we correct our kids, and we don't do it the right way, that we think God done messed up. Listen, God never messed up. See, God cares so much. You know where we are a lot of times when God catches us? We're on our way out the door. And we're about to go through the door. We're about to walk out, and all of a sudden He stops us. And He says, just read it in My Word. I'm here for you. I'll be your way maker. I'll be your strength. I'll be your peace. I'll be your rest. But because the Word that brings us to that point causes correction in our life, we want to hurry up and flip the page and find something else that sounds a little bit better. We want to, let me see what feels better. You know what happens when you find a child that's corrected in the right way, in the right manner, and in the right way? You find a child that shows respect. See, God's correction ain't because He's mad at us. But He's trying to teach you and I how to respect Him, how to love Him, and how to show Him respect. You let the President of the United States make an announcement that he's coming to Plaquemine and Parish, there'll be people lined up for miles to get into the building because they want to see. Listen, I'll never forget the very first time Bobby Jindal walked into this church. Everybody was excited. He said something, everybody started clapping. God performs a miracle and half the church don't even realize what God's doing. Who is Bobby Jindal? He's just a man, just as you and I are. He's God's creation. And that's where we miss it. We fall in love with the creation and we fall out of love with the Creator. Let's get our eyes on God, the Creator, and worship Him and honor Him and give Him glory. And you know what it'll do? It'll help us and it'll show us how to enjoy what He created more. It'll cause your neighbor to come up to you and say, why are you so happy all the time? We live in a real world with real problems and real situations, but we also have a real God that created all of those things and He knows how to see us through them. He can give us strength to get through that. But it keeps coming back to me. We got to quit worried about who sinned. Quit worried. Listen, you know what's the problem with mankind? If we got somebody we can blame for what happens, it makes us feel better. It's not about whose fault it is. It's not about who done the wrong. It's about serving God and Him only. God said He's not sharing His glory with no man. Listen. You want to be blessed? You know what can give you more recognition than anything? Is when everything we do is about serving God and giving Him glory. And in the beginning, Brother Scott, it might not seem so popular. When we totally, completely sell out and honor God. I said completely sell out and honor God. That's when you can go out and set your lines out. And nobody else is catching, but you are. Listen, I come home the other day, told my wife, I said, I quit. She said, what do you mean? I got tired of the pounding. I got tired of the rough. And I saw all of my shark lines before I came home. Out there. There was a time in my life I loved doing that. The rougher it was, the more fun we had. But I got tired of it. And you know what's the sad thing? I said that to say this. Brother Brian, there's people out in the world that love sinning. They love having a hard time. They love the battle every day. And they love it so much they're trying to drag everybody else in there with them. But thank God there's a group of people that got tired of it. There's a group of people that got tired of it and they said, I'm going to go with God. And it don't seem as popular. It don't seem like there's as many people doing it. But listen to me. We are about to step into an area in God's glory that we have never been. We are about to walk in God's glory like we've never walked. Listen. We need to start hearing more of these answers. I went down a road a few Sundays ago early in the morning. Like it was just getting daylight. I said, where's Jake? Oh, he's going to church. We need to start hearing more of those answers. Listen to me. God only acts for one day. And if we fall in love with God for in that one day, everything we do throughout the rest of that week till the next Sunday, we will be so blessed and that people will just see it. Listen, there's going to be times you're going to miss a Sunday. There's going to be times you might miss a Thursday. But it can't become a part of our life. We got to set some time aside for God. My wife can tell you, there was times that I looked for an excuse. I looked for a reason to go down to the marina and jump on that boat and go out. Then I got a job. And I'm working. And I made this statement to my boss. I said, I quit. He said, what do you mean? I said, I'm the assistant pastor at church and I go to church less than anybody there. I quit. If you can't give me a job where I can be at church on Sundays, I don't need to work for you no more. I quit that job because the Lord told me to. Let me tell you how God works. The man that I quit working for, the day I quit, picks up the phone and calls his neighbor and says, hey, Troy just quit, you better hire him. So my phone rings. I said, if I can be at church on Sundays, I'll go to work for you. He said, that's no problem. I never missed a paycheck. But it was all because of a choice. I said, it was all because of a choice. And see, the reason people are at home stuck. They're at home stuck right now. Y'all just sit right here because God's about to minister to y'all in an awesome way. They're at home and they're stuck because of a choice. Because when the enemy attacked their mind, They believed the lie. And he robbed the blessing God had for them today. Because they believed, oh, it's going to be okay if I just don't go. You know, I had a little battle, I had a little problem, so I'm just not going to go to church. God didn't cause the battle. He didn't cause the problem. Quit blaming him. God gets blamed for a whole lot of things he has nothing to do with. But you got to want him. You got to want his glory. That's what it's all about. Hannah, come over here. Start singing that song again, and those of you that's up here, I want you just to begin to seek the Lord. Allow God's glory to minister to you. Listen to me.
I see the clouds.
Come up here. I want y'all to hold hands. Sister Rachel, come here. Sister Lynn. Just grab their hand. Trey Sean, I want you to remember this day. There's some parents. There's some aunts and uncles. Come here, son. Come get right here in the middle of them and hold their hand. There's about to be a transfer of God's anointing that's going to cause lives to be changed. Brother Josh, I want you to get this all. The glory of Almighty God. The presence of our Savior. Listen, I want you to hear this. Jesus, after they had him tied to the whipping post, and they beat him, they gave him his cross, and he began to walk to Calvary. And he fell. And he's on the ground. And he said, Father, I'm getting up because I got to finish my walk. I have a journey you laid before me, and I'm going to finish this journey for this day, for this time. Listen to me. This is no accident. You fell in love with these kids in a way that words can't explain. You were there for these kids when nobody else was willing to stand for them. And it's the grace of God that they're standing where they're standing. But we're about to anoint them. Because my Bible tells me that God's anointing breaks the yokes of bondage. And I believe that there's going to be a transfer of the anointing. Not from man, not from the ladies holding their hand, not from anybody standing behind them or standing in the front of them, but God's anointing is going to begin to break the chains of bondage. That is going to literally cause lives to be changed. Anoint all of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just point your hands this way. I want all the ladies come and come up here, Brother Josh. Want all the ladies to come stand right here. Make a circle around them. Sister Linda, come over here. Up here, just if, even if you got to sit down on the front row. Listen to me. I want you to hear this. There's an outside force that is trying to attack the mind like never before. You see, I can tell you, if I'm the outside force, men, don't get mad at me. Don't judge me. But when it comes to protecting a child, that mama will protect that child like nobody else will. Look, you could probably go to dad and say something about little Susie and not get told a whole bunch, but don't go tell mama. I seen a man sitting on trial for murder. And that mama never gave up on him because that was her boy. She stood by his side. And she said, I'll be here for you. But you know what? God stepped in. And he said, I'll be here for you. Just let me do it. Don't try to do it on your own. Let me do it. And no doubt, there was times that Hannah and Trey Sean went to their parents and talked to them about God. I know the parents of some of them already been here. But I believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that there's an anointing that's going home with them. It's going to cause lives to be changed. Listen. They're going to have unrest to cause rest. The unrest is going to come in the state that they're in. And when they find themselves calling out to God, turning their life over to the Lord, washed in the blood of Jesus, it's going to cause rest. It's going to cause peace. It's going to cause salvation. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, peace of God that passeth all understanding. Father, strengthen them right now. God, you know everything about every one of these children, Lord. I'm asking you, Father, to keep them, oh God. Keep them, Father, that your anointing, that a transfer of your anointing would go home with them. That when their parents look at them, they're going to see this child in a different way than they've ever seen them before. God, and I thank you for salvation, Lord. I thank you for building a hedge of protection about them. Just keep them, Lord, in your presence and your safety. We thank you for it and we claim it done in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to the Lamb of God. Just lift up your hands all across this building. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's not a prayer that has went unheard. There's not a word spoken that God doesn't know about. The Lord would have me tell you this morning, call the things that are not as though they were. Begin to call out names of the people that you seek in the Lord to set free and deliver and save. And when you look at them as saved. Give God the glory. Give God the honor. And you'll see them. You'll see lives tremendously changed for God's glory. God's going to give you rest. He's going to give you strength. And He's going to give you peace. Like never before. In a time that you feel like nobody else is around, you'll just feel God wrap His loving arms around you and minister to you from the inside out. And it'll actually cause a bubbling in your soul like never before. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Thank you for it, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I honor you. We give you the glory, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all just right where you are. Begin to just give God the glory. Hallelujah. Join hands. Just quit playing for a minute. I want you to join hands. My. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, a playing ability, an anointing like never before, a singing ability like never before through your anointing. As we give you the glory, Lord, I thank you, Father, that they will play and sing better than they've ever done because it's going to honor you. God, I thank you for it, and I claim it done right now in the name of Jesus. Now we're going to sing this song before we dismiss. You say, well, what's going to happen? Listen to me. What's going to happen is whatever you and I allow to happen. You know, I don't know what's in here. I know they got one of these. But I can take this basket and I can say, the first one up here can have it. Look, Luke ain't never sat on the end of his seat like that. And I can give it to you. See, as soon as all of this is gone, there's nothing left. So the enthusiasm and the excitement, and you know, no doubt, there's several envelopes in there. You could probably go to your favorite store for a few minutes. Probably wouldn't get many items. And you can buy your favorite thing. But before long, that excitement and enthusiasm of the fact that somebody gave it to you is going to go away. But see, how fast will we run up here if I tell you, you can have everything in this book? The real question comes, which one would we pick? Which one will we choose? I had this statement made to me one time by an individual that said, you wouldn't believe what I do for $100. For what? One trip to the dollar store and it's gone, and you only got two bags and they ain't full. Before you get home, you could eat everything you bought. See, eventually this is going to go away. Eventually this won't be here anymore. But what did God say? My word will not return void. It will never go away. It will never change. Maybe we need to paint our Bibles green. Because some of the things, listen to me, I'm going to say this before we sing. Some of the things that we do, especially in the fishing world, to make a dollar will blow your mind. You know, I'll never forget last year I had my crew on the boat and it was rough. And I got told this, if you're going any further out, bring us back to the bank because we quit. You know, we had Brother Ryan out there one day. We got five boats parked in the canes. He said, if anybody will bring me home, we all got lines out. We trying to figure out how we're going to save. I mean, you know, it's several hundred dollars worth of lines. We can't lose them. He said, whoever will bring me home, I'll buy you everything brand new. I'm not going back out there. And if everybody's going back out there, leave me here. It was rough. You know, we're used of it. I used to guide for a living. And the guys would call me. We're going 30, 40 miles offshore. What's the weather going to be like? I said, we don't need to go. Oh, we gone. Then you get out there and it's 10, 14 foot seas. And the next time he calls, he says, what's the weather going to be like? I said, it's going to be rough. Oh, we're not going. But if the person that's taking you lives there, and they tell you it's going to be too rough, it's because they know. Had they believed what I said, it would have saved a whole lot of misery. One of those guys was greener than this dollar bill. And I don't need to tell you what else he was doing. He looked like he just left Jenny Craig when we got in. But if I'm going to go off somewhere, you know, I'll never forget the first time I went down to Mexico and we went to visit one of the Mayan ruins. We got us a guide. And he got put us on a bus. In the first group of people we came up to with machine guns and machetes, I thank God for that guide. Because they meant business. And they let us know, don't go off on your own. Stay with us. Stay with the group. But how often we ask God, what should I do? We go to the Word and we find the right answer. We find the right directions. Listen, don't trust iPhones. You know, my wife and I, we done been at Thomas a bunch of times. We don't need the little Google map, but we used it. And she's got her phone and she's telling me where to turn, and I'm like, okay, we ain't never seen this before. So I get into Thomaston. She's like, keep going down the road another mile and take a right. She said, the hotel's on the left. All I seen was trees. So when I took the right and the hotel was supposed to be on the left, Jake, they had a slab. Was there so long, the grass done overtook it. Somebody need to update their map. Yeah. See, but when you trust God, it's automatically updated because he said his word will never change. He's not going to change who he is. He's God and he always will be God. Amen. Jesus is our Savior and he always will be our Savior. So we have it right here. See, I knew which way to go to get to the church or to get to the hotel we were staying at. But she kept saying, it's telling me to go this way. So I said, well, let's see what it's going to do. Thank God I remember where I came from so I can go back to get to the right road to finish the journey. You see, I'm going to share this with you and then we'll sing one more time and dismiss. I went to Brother Nathaniel's and he has an elderly couple in their church. And they decided they were going to travel. So he went to the store and he bought him a Garmin GPS. It has a feature on it, if you set it right, when you get where you're going, you press home, and it'll take you back home. Well, they got to where they was going, but they didn't set their home address. And a man sets home. He said he's traveling and he's going, and he's towing a trailer. Said he goes down this driveway with trees. He's not sure the trail is going to fit. Said he goes through the trees and all of a sudden he looks and they got home of GPS Gorman on front of the building. If you're going to buy those things and trust them, set them right. They won't take you back where they made. Took him right to the building it came from. Because he didn't put his home address in. The GPS knew where he was going. The man was lost. He said, I took every turn and I done everything it said to do. And he said, I got to the home of GPS where they make them. See, the GPS knew, he remembered where he came from. See, I have one on my boat that if it's rough, you need to watch it because when you hit a swell, it knocks it off. And I remember running last year, and I'm talking about fog where you couldn't see 10 foot ahead of you. I left in the fog, came back home in the fog, and it was dark. But I trusted that line that I had. Somebody asked me about radars and GPSs one time. I said, if you don't trust them, don't fool with them because they'll kill you. You know, we went out. It was nice. Got foggy and dark. And Chris says, how are we getting home? I said, just hold on. And look, I tried going slow and the boat's doing this. So I got up to 25 miles an hour and the boat stayed straight. I was able to stay on the line. You seen that piling? So no, I'm not looking for that piling. I'm looking for this line. Because I know if I stay on this line, I'm going to get where I'm headed. I know if I don't veer off of that line, Brother Joshua, I'm not going to hit nothing because I've done it 100 times. I passed on this line so many times, I know if I don't get off of it, I'm going to be safe. And we go, you didn't see that piling? You passed pretty close to it. I said, well, I know I passed close to it because that's where I put the line. And look, there's a line. There's a path. It's right here. It's called the straight and narrow. And there ain't a whole lot of people on it. I ran that line in the fog and at night probably 15, 20 times and I found out all of Hillcore's boats pass right there. So I told Brother Joshua to put the word out. If they see something coming about 25 miles an hour and it's foggy, it's me. Don't run over me. Because I can't see them. But there's a straight path that God wants to put us on. And if we stay on that line, look, we'll pass close to the pylons. We might pass close to that well out there. But if we stay on a line, we'll make it to our destination.